And welcome back to Cityscape. I'm Jim Eltoff in for Steve Potter. For our final segment on the program today, let me have my guest introduce himself.
Does a feeling in my heart ever think of you? And does a rainbow that shines a sign the dreams come true? All in my heart, fell in love with you, all in my heart, I fell in love with you.
Can you hear me when my heart cries out to yours? Can you feel me when my heart beats next to
As a gospel and R&B recording artist, he's known as Arthur Anthony. As a boxer, a flyweight who won 12 amateur titles and had a professional record of 22-6, he was known as Arthur Flash Johnson. Arthur, good morning. Welcome to Cityscapes. Good to see you again.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here and great to be with you again. Absolutely.
I'm glad you could work this all out. I want to start with a little bit of your story, and then we'll tell people later on how they can find out a lot more about your story. You were born and grew up in the projects in East St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Could not have been easy.
Right. Difficult times. No question about it.
Violent surroundings, poverty.
Absolutely.
Racism. That was a tough place to grow up.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful mother, though.
Oh, yeah. The greatest. I thought, without question, you know, she's the greatest and my hero to this day.
This may sound like a Hollywood movie, but you literally fought your way out of the projects. How did boxing come into your life in the first place?
Well, you know, there was quite a few things that we could do, and trouble was the easiest thing to find, so we did a lot of that. There were these guys that came around, and I remember their names, James Hooks and Benjamin Stiff. These were former boxers, and they were starting a club. And prior to them coming, maybe a few years before, I had my first experience with boxing, and it didn't fare so well. And so when these guys came along at the time they did, I thought, let's give it a try now, because I still wanted to be a boxer, even though I had took a pretty good thumping in my first try.
And well, you so were not a big kid.
No, I wasn't. I believe I was somewhere around 65 pounds or so, 65, 70 pounds, which was my first amateur fight.
Was it about pursuing boxing as a sport or possibly even a career, or was it about learning to defend yourself?
How I look at that, as I think about it and reflect back on it to this day, I think it was more like a purpose and destiny, a career, so to speak. Because even before I knew anything about how to learn how to throw right hands, left hooks, and things of that nature, I had this desire to want to be a boxer. So I think it was more like from a career perspective. Hmm. And coming from where I came from, there wasn't a lot to look up to. And so I just had this dream. There was something that was driven and endured in my heart that concerned the sport of boxing and something that I really was attracted to.
Well, you had a great gift for it as well. A great career as an amateur, 12 titles. You fought for your country in the Goodwill Games against the Soviets, in the Pan Am Games, and in the Olympics at Seoul.
Exactly.
That must have been a moment, huh?
That's a great memory, no matter what, regardless of how you fare in there. And, of course, those Olympics were pretty much controversial. But what I take from that is a kid coming from the projects knew, I don't even think I knew anything much about the Olympics, you know, because I think poverty not only kills, but it certainly leaves you in the dark as well. So when I started to compete, it was then that I started to learn about these things like the Goodwill Games, the national tournaments, and things of that nature. And as you mentioned, I won 12 national titles, a record that to this day, within its own right, has not been broken. And so, and I don't think because they've gotten away from the format that it used to be in, so I think that record will stand for some time. But it was just the opportunity that was given to me, which I'm so dearly thank those guys for. And so it's the same attitude that I have now as a fighter, wanting to be the best And so that travels with me no matter what I'm doing.
There was a time, though, when you kind of burned out, when you kind of lost that fire in the belly after many, many, many amateur fights. What happened?
Well, I retired. I retired for 3.5, 4 years.
How old were you?
I was about 22. Hmm. No, actually, yeah, it was 22 years of age. You're asking me to reflect back now sometimes. Yeah. When I think about that, I think, wow, this was a gang of years ago. But I was 22 years old, and I needed a rest. I just came back from the Olympics. I was tired, and so I took the rest, the break that I needed. And of course, after 3 to 4 years, I wanted to come back. And so we launched a comeback, an incredible comeback. And I went on to win four world titles, 3 world titles as a professional. And so that was just something that hadn't been done, because usually when you quit and retire from boxing, it's pretty hard to.
That's a long layoff.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's a long time to be away from the sport.
The only guy that I knew that did something like that was Ali. And from what I understand, it was because it was mandatory.
Yeah. So wouldn't let him fight when he wouldn't let himself be drafted.
Right.
You came back and turned pro, and you managed to hook up with probably the greatest manager, trainer ever, Angelo Dundee, a legend in boxing.
Absolutely. Just a great mentor, a person who had an attitude of positiveness that you just cannot buy. I'm telling you, this guy, he could tell you if it was storming and raining outside that the sun was shining, and he was so convincing you would believe him, even though you saw the rain and the storm.
So he would give you faith in yourself. You can beat this guy, and here's how you're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. He was known for keywords, key phrases. One of the things that he would say to me that became popular was that, Arthur, this is the last round. There ain't no more. And so every time I heard that, you know, I understood what I needed to do, and I just went out and executed.
Talking with Arthur Flash Johnson about his boxing career. And then in 2008, Arthur, everything changed. You were faced with something a lot more frightening than a big guy in the opposite corner.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It's called APL, acute polymyositic leukemia. A situation that fell upon me just basically out of nowhere. It's just like walking across the street and you get hit by a car. You don't even see it coming. And it was something that threatened to take my life. I was given 3 months to live, and the story is so endearing and deep. We decided to put it in a book. It's called Trials to Triumph. Trials to Triumph. Of course, we did the film called Greatest Comeback, The Untold Story, and I believe you saw that.
I'm watching the film. We ran it on the show I do on HEC. I'm watching the film, The Greatest Comeback, and you retire as an amateur, and then you come back as a professional. And that's the greatest comeback. Mm. And then I see your story of dealing with this stage 3 leukemia. That is a comeback that put everything else to shame. The guts and the power of, I don't know, prayer, perseverance, faith, whatever it was that brought you back from the precipice, from the edge.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the. I'm telling you, it's an awesome story. It helps you to put everything in perspective. What's just the things that are most important. And I'm so glad that I was able to come through those things. So now I tell the story. And, of course, we're working on the major film now, the major film of Trials to Triumph. And that's, of course, in the works. But what's available now is the film Greatest Comeback, The Untold Story. And I got to tell you, it's a great story. And just looking at it, I've seen it a number of times. And of course, as the producer, you know, I have to watch it over and over and over. But there are moments in there that still brings tears to my eyes.
It is a wonderful story, I can tell you. It is a terrific documentary. And it includes a lot of great fight footage from CBS and ESPN and other networks.
Absolutely.
A chance to watch you work in the ring and understand what this Flash stuff is about. You were fast with those hands. My God. Gosh, you were fast with those hands.
Oh, thank you, man.
Just unbelievable. All right, now we get to Arthur Anthony, which is your middle name.
Sure.
And your career as a gospel and R&B singer and songwriter, where did that come from?
The thing is, I've always been a singer-songwriter. That's the gift that many people didn't know about. I think I wrote my first song at age 9. And I wrote my first song at age 9, and I can still remember it to this day, even though it makes no sense whatsoever. But That was the start of the start of the writing for me, and from there, it just seemed to come pretty simple, pretty easy for me. And of course, putting that with boxing, you know, most people would say, "How do you put boxing and that together? It's really quite not a mix." Well, with boxing, you have there's a whole lot of stories to tell. So I was able to really kind of create a poetic perfection there.
You're not the first boxing poet, you know. There is this guy, Ali, who had a little poetry going for him, too. Well, you have, what, three CDs you've recorded? All right, well, let's listen to this man work. Let's listen to a song called Greatest Moments by Arthur Anthony.
Yeah, yeah. Giving up when I couldn't see hope at all. My heart began to fail, 'cause faith was gone. But soon I realized the miracles in me. Despite a past defeat, I won't be beat. Yeah, I can hold on, I must be strong. There's no time for giving up. I can't hold on, I must be strong. For the greatest moment. For the greatest moment. For the greatest moment.
That is my guest, Arthur Johnson, with a track from one of his CDs. It's called Greatest Moments. Great stuff, Arthur. As great a fighter as you were, you bring the same intensity and ability to your music.
Thank you.
Did you study voice? Have you had voice training, voice lessons?
Well, I did a lot of singing in choirs and things of that nature, so I guess if you want to call that, you know.
But never like a singing coach, a singing teacher?
Never had a teacher, but there are those that I try to pattern myself after. And
like
just
who?
Over.
Pendergast?
You think about everybody know this guy, Michael Jackson, and just folks like him. Stevie Wonder,
Al Green,
Al Green. I mean, just a lot of great singers, and I like music that really may not be the same in the same method in which mine is delivered. I like all sorts of music, and so that's the thing that really I draw from.
How's the music career going? It's just a tough business. Boxing is tough, but show business is really tough, right?
It's a tough business without question. I would say it's going relatively well. In addition to that, I have a foundation which helps me to break up the monotonous of that and come away or pull away sometime from the music scene, but always staying right where hopefully I need to be. And having a foundation, having the Arthur Johnson Foundation, doing different programs.
What kind of things does the foundation do?
Well, at this particular time, you know, we reach out to the underprivileged, and that's the main thing. But currently at this particular time, we are developing a boxing club. And, of course, we're having a big event over on the Illinois side on August 30th. It's going to be at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel, and it's a big old dinner, and well, we have an auction and things of that nature. And that is to raise money for the foundation, the boxing club, to be able to carry that out, because here's what I do. I go into the underprivileged areas in which I'm from, which I come from. Maybe not exactly where I come from, but the same story.
Yeah.
Those kids have the same story that I have, and so we reach out to them there. And so for more information about that event coming up, just you can go on to arthurjohnsonfoundation.com or .org, and we'd like to have you involved if you'd like to be involved.
Well, we barely touched on your remarkable story, Arthur, but people can learn a lot more from that documentary we've referred to, The Greatest Comeback. A lot of great fight footage and your story, and from your book, Trials to Triumph, they're available, and your CDs on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Johnson.
Well, it is arthuranthony.org.
Arthur Anthony.
Or you can simply just go to amazon.com and type that information in.
All right. Arthur, thanks so much for being with us on Cityscape, and continued success to you, my
Thank
friend.
You, Good Jim. Luck. It was a pleasure being here.
Next week on Cityscape, Steve will be back to talk with cast members of Stages St. Louis's production of Legally Blonde. And in the next installment of Soundbites, produced with Sauce Magazine, he'll take a look at summer drinks. Join Don Marsh on Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk about St. Louis's new effort to attract and keep immigrants. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer and engineered by Aaron Dorr and Hannah Durham. Thanks, guys. Very nice job. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Jim Eltoff. Thanks for listening. Let's go out with more music from Arthur Anthony.